RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of A Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headlines, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. And this is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, seen keeping policy steady after report of inflation pickup. Italian National Day moment to strengthen bilateral relationships. Reshuffle cabinet is needed for certain sectors if it is not optimal. Now the news in detail. Bank Indonesia, the country's central bank, is likely keep its benchmark interest rate at the next policy meeting on June 18th, even after a report showed that inflation accelerated in May ahead of the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan, economists say. Data from the Central Statistics Agency BPS showed on Monday that the consumer price index rose 7.15% in May compared with 6.79% a month earlier. Rising food, beverages, tobacco, and electricity prices had pushed inflation to its highest since December, when government raised fuel prices were raised in the previous month. Lana Sulistianingsih, an economist from the University of Indonesia, on Monday, inflation is normal. He said the inflation will remain high for the next 2 months and reach its peak on July. Lana said Bank Indonesia could not raise the benchmark rate while the economy was slowing down. On the other hand, the rupiah is still weakening against the US dollar, as the market now expects the US Federal Reserve to increase its benchmark interest rate in September, which would draw capital from emerging markets including Indonesia. The Italian National Day is seen as a moment to strengthen bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Italy, as well as to present some Italian excellency to Indonesian people. The Italian ambassador to the Republic of Indonesia, His Excellency Federico Faila, made the statement in an interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on the occasion of the National Day of Italy, which falls on June 2nd.
Yes, we will celebrate the National Day also here in Jakarta. We will celebrate on the 3rd because the 2nd is a public holiday. We hope that this is a moment to strengthen the bilateral cooperation. We are proud to present some Italian excellences here in Jakarta. There are more and more companies coming and more companies investing. So we hope that the National Day will bring to the attention of the Indonesian people what is Italy today. I mean, Italy is famous for many things, fashion or furniture of the food and also other products.
Regarding bilateral relations between the two countries, the ambassador revealed that the Indonesian and the Italian government have positive relations without disagreement. It is proven, among others, in the growing economic relations from year to year.
Italy and Indonesia are having very good and positive relations. We don't have any major issues of disagreement between the two countries. The economic relations are growing year by year. We have passed the mark of 3 billion euros total trade. We import in Italy more than what we export to Indonesia. We import from Indonesia basically coals, chemicals, footwear, palm oil, and other things. And we export mostly machinery.
The Italian National Day itself is commemorated every June 2nd, as on June 2nd, 1946, following the Second World War, Italy became a republic after the majority of Italian voters chose republic rather than monarchy through a referendum. Up to now, the economic sector in President Jokowi's government has not run optimally. The sector is assumed to run slowly and has not given significant development for the national economy. It was said by a political observer of University of Indonesia, Bonnie Huygens, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta Monday afternoon. However, on the other hand, he said, security sector has been able to run optimally by the conduciveness and stability of the security in the country.
The economic dimension or factor has not run fast. At least, it is not like President Jokowi who can act fast. Then in the security sector, we feel comfortable and stable because the Indonesian military TNI and the Indonesian police Polri are so enthusiastic to follow President Jokowi's instruction. We see the big changes in the two institutions. They can encourage a change to secure Jokowi's governance. But the ministry which concerns with security has done special things, both the coordinating minister and defense minister.
Furthermore, Bonnie Huygens also said President Jokowi's government is still premature because the budget absorption has not been optimal, so it is unlikely to reshuffle cabinet. Otherwise, Bonnie said, if there is no developments in certain sector of Jokowi's government for next 3 months, the reshuffle cabinet will be the best choice so as the people can feel the impact of the economic and other developments. China is making clearer its intention of engaging Southeast Asia to support its ambitious plans to revive the ancient Silk Road commerce routes. But observers in Jakarta remind Indonesia to exercise caution. The Joint Belt and Road Development is the topic of a forum in Nusa Dua, Bali, taking place on Sunday and Monday, which was attended by officials and community representatives from China and member states of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. China has been touting the phrase Belt and Road to promote its ambitious initiative of engaging other countries to jointly develop the so-called Silk Road Economic Belt and the 21st Century Maritime Silk Road. Chinese Deputy Premier Liu Yandong on Sunday emphasized the need to step up people-to-people cooperation between China and ASEAN in order to bolster development in the respective regions and economic growth. Retired Indonesian veteran diplomat and maritime law expert Hashim Jalal said Indonesia could definitely benefit from Chinese Maritime Silk Road Initiative, more so now with President Joko Widodo's ambitious vision to turn Indonesia into a global maritime fulcrum. Hashim, though, warned Indonesia to remain cautious, raising the possibility that China may want to also use the Silk Road for military purposes. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, record that Indonesia's inflation figure in May stands at 0.5%, while the nationwide consumer price index stands at 119.50. Head of the agency, Suryamin, on Monday said that the price rose the most in Palu, where inflation was recorded at 2.24%. Meanwhile, Singkawang saw at the least price hike across the nation inflation stood at 0.03%. According to Suryamin, inflation in May due to the price increase of chili pepper.
Penyebab utama inflasi yang 0,5 ini karena yang menyebab inflasi yang
meningkat. The main cause of 0.5 inflation is the increase of chili pepper's price. The price increase was 22.2% and contributes 0.1% to the inflation due to the less supply. It increases in 69 cities, where the highest increase is in Medan, up to 95%, and in Aceh, 94%.
Dan juga di Banda Aceh sampai 94%.
Suryamin furthermore said that the inflation in May occurs in 81 cities, while one city, namely Pangkal Pinang, experiences deflation. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Family welfare is vital in the government's attempt to eradicate child labor, as there is a close link between the two issues, says Manpower Minister Muhammad Hanif Dakiri. The minister made the statement on Monday while declaring June Child Labor Eradication Month, in addition to making International Labor Organization's ILO World Day Against Child Labor, which falls on June 12th. The ministry aims to fully eradicate the practice by 2022 through its programs. Hanif said, poor family financial condition contributes greatly to the practice of child labor. So his site has not just made a road map, but will also ensure the prosperity of Indonesian families. The Manpower Ministry's Acting Director General of Manpower Supervision and Health and Work Safety, Muji Handoyo, shared the minister's opinion, saying that financial status was one of the biggest aspects leading to child labor. The ministry aims to eliminate 16,000 jobs for children this year. On the occasion of 65th anniversary of bilateral relations between Italy and Indonesia, the Italian Embassy in Jakarta and the Italian Institute of Culture in Jakarta, in collaboration with Ciputra Artpreneur, present Traviata, a dance performance based on Italian opera by Artemis Danza Ballet Group, to be held on June 14, 2015. In an interview with RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, the Italian Ambassador to Republic of Indonesia, His Excellency Federico Faila, revealed that the performance, which is held for the first time in Indonesia, is part of Asia Tour.
This event has been brought around the world, has been extremely successful all around the world. Now, for the first time is in Indonesia, being part of Asia Tour. We are confident that this will be also very successful in Indonesia. We will present it on the 14th of June in the Ciputra Artpreneur Center. Actually, all the event is a cooperation between Ciputra Artpreneur Center, the Italian Culture Institute, and the Italian Embassy. So we hope that audience will be there to enjoy a unique event in Jakarta.
The story of Traviata itself is an adaptation of the legendary opera La Traviata from 1853, telling the love story of Violetta and Alfredo, where they go through various obstacles, both from the family of the man and chronic disease suffered by Violetta. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, seen keeping policy steady after report of inflation pickup. Italian National Day moment to strengthen bilateral relations. Reshuffle cabinet is needed for certain sectors if it is not optimal. That was the news.
Hard work and commitment of the government is needed in accelerating infrastructure development. The government is currently giving great attention to the development of infrastructure in Indonesia. Infrastructure development becomes a priority. This is understandable because infrastructure policies have a positive impact on the economic growth. Good infrastructure is also an attraction for foreign investors to invest in the real sector. In the era of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, the infrastructure sector has also become the focus of attention. To accelerate infrastructure development, former Yudhoyono's government made a breakthrough through the Master Plan for the Acceleration of the Indonesian Economic Development, or MP3EI, on May 27, 2011. However, its implementation and results are not as expected. Former head of the National Development Planning Agency, or BAPENAS, Armida Alisyabana, in the reflection 3-year implementation of MP3EI in September 2014, said that since its launch, the master plan for the acceleration of Indonesian economic development, a total of 382 projects have been realized. The projects consist of 208 infrastructure projects and 174 projects of the real sector. President Joko Widodo's government is currently trying to speed up the development of infrastructure by removing obstacles. In a limited cabinet meeting a few days ago, President Joko Widodo emphasizes the need to accelerate infrastructure as a priority, primarily road infrastructure, transport, ports, and electricity. The president also said, to accelerate the provision of infrastructure, the government will cut the long process of building this infrastructure. The acceleration of infrastructure projects, according to President Joko Widodo, also be done through the synchronization of the top level and bottom level of governances. Whatever breakthrough that the government will take to accelerate the building of infrastructure, the most important is the government's commitment. There are many challenges to be faced, and it takes hard work to implement these commitments. Infrastructure development also requires the support and involvement of all stakeholders. Without the support and involvement of all stakeholders, it seems to be impossible that the acceleration of infrastructure development to be realized. Equitable development of infrastructure is also an issue that should receive serious attention from the government. Indonesian territory is so vast, it also requires a large budget to build the infrastructure. That was commentary.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1896. Guglielmo Marconi applies for a patent for his newest invention, the radio. Marconi, the first Marquis of Marconi, who was born on April 25, 1874, and died on July 20, 1937, was an Italian inventor and electrical engineer known for his development of Marconi's law and a radio telegraph system. He is often credited as the inventor of radio, and he shared the 1909 Nobel Prize in Physics with Carl Ferdinand Braun in recognition of their contributions to the development of wireless telegraphy. An entrepreneur, businessman, and founder in Britain in 1897 of the Wireless Telegraph and Signal Company, which became the Marconi Company, Marconi succeeded in making a commercial success of radio by innovating and building on the work of previous experiments and physicists. In 1929, the King of Italy ennobled Marconi as the Marquis or Marquis. During his early years, Marconi had an interest in science and electricity. One of the scientific developments during this era came from Heinrich Hertz, who, beginning in 1888, demonstrated that one could produce and detect electromagnetic radiation, now generally known as radio waves, at the time more commonly called Hertzian waves or etheric waves. Hertz's death in 1894 brought published reviews of his earlier discoveries and a renewed interest on the part of Marconi. He was permitted to briefly study the subject under Augusto Righi, a University of Bologna physicist and neighbor of Marconi who had done research on Hertz's work. Over now to 1946, the birth of Italian Republic. In a referendum, Italians vote to turn Italy from a monarchy into a republic. After the referendum, King Umberto II of Italy is exiled. A constitutional referendum was held in Italy on June 2, 1946. a key event of Italian contemporary history. Until 1946, Italy was a kingdom ruled by the House of Savoy, kings of Italy since the Risorgimento and previously rulers of Savoy. However, Benito Mussolini, enjoying the support of the reigning monarch, imposed fascism after the 28th of October 1922 march on Rome, eventually engaging Italy in World War II alongside Nazi Germany. In 1946, Italy became a republic after the result of a popular referendum. Monarchists had suspicions of fraud but were never allowed to prove this. A constituent assembly was elected at the same time. Last item is from June 2, 1986. Slamet Muljana, an Indonesian philologist and historian, passed away. Slamet Muljana was an Indonesian philologist and historian who became a lecturer at the University of Gajah Mada, the Academy of Information, and the Academy of Journalism. In addition, he also taught abroad, among others, at Wolfgang Goethe Universitat in Frankfurt, Germany, State University of New York in Albany, United States, and Nanyang University of Singapore. Slamet Muljana served as director of the Institute for Language and Culture in Singapore, as well as the member of the boards of curators at the Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore. Well, that was Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Until tomorrow with another edition of Today in History, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on FIFA sanctions as the national football improvement momentum. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The World Football Federation, FIFA, eventually imposed sanctions on the Indonesian Football Association, or PSSI. FIFA's president, Sepp Blatter, said the sanctions are given with no specified time limit. The decision was taken during the FIFA Executive Committee meeting on Saturday in Zurich, Switzerland. They considered the Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Youth and Sports, has been interfering the internal affairs of PSSI. Nonetheless, Indonesia's football team is still allowed to play in the SEA Games 2015 in Singapore. Responding to the FIFA sanctions, President Joko Widodo said freezing the PSSI by the World Football governing body FIFA should be addressed as a momentum to totally reorganize and reform the organization of Indonesian football in terms of systems and management. According to the president, the government wants Indonesian football to be much better in the future. The president explained that so far, Indonesian football team continues to follow various international level matches, but did not bring satisfying results. He also asserted that the government wants total reform in PSSI. Both President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla had the same desire to fix PSSI for the better. In this connection, Deputy 5 of Harmonization and Partnership Division of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Gatot S. Dewabroto, said the ministry will be responsible for the imposition of sanctions by FIFA to the PSSI by performing a number of strategic measures as a consequence of these sanctions. Gatot Dewabroto in Jakarta on Sunday said it will soon make synergies with relevant institutions to enhance the blueprint for revamping the national football as soon as possible. Related to competitions, he explained the ministry through the transition team will immediately run again various competitions both for the professional level and amateur level. This needs to be emphasized because it is not solely related to the technical aspects of football, but also the social, economic, community, and creativity dynamics dimension, plus the public interest. The players are expected not to worry because the government remains committed to holding more competitions with better standards and quality so that the rights and obligations of the players, coaches, and the game can be better met. Well, that was Focus over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Bank Indonesia, the country's central bank, is likely keep its benchmark interest rate at the next policy meeting. On June 18th, even after a report showed that inflation accelerated in May ahead of the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan, economists say. The Thailand National Day is seen as a moment to strengthen bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Italy, as well as to present some Italian excellency to Indonesian people. Up to now, the economic sector in President Jokowi's government has not run optimally. The sector is assumed to run slowly and has not given significant development for the national economy. However, on the other hand, security sector has been able to run optimally by the conduciveness and stability of the security in the country. China is making clearer its intention of engaging Southeast Asia to support its ambitious plans to revive the ancient Silk Road commerce routes, but observers in Jakarta remind Indonesia to exercise caution. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, record that Indonesia's inflation figure in May stands at 0.5%, while the nationwide consumer price index stands at 119.50. Family welfare is vital in the government's attempt to eradicate child labor, as there is a close link between the two issues, Minister of Manpower Muhammad Hanif Dakiri said. On the occasion of 65th anniversary of bilateral relations between Italy and Indonesia, the Italian Embassy in Jakarta and the Italian Institute of Culture, in collaboration with Ciputra Arpanur, present Traviata, a dance performance based on Italian opera by Artemis Danza Ballet Group, to be held on June 14, 2015. Listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Listener, you still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting live from frequency of 95.5 kHz and audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion and criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment Indonesia Wonder and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to VOI Quiz 2015 voicequiz@gmail.com. voicequiz2015@gmail.com. Before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listeners. It is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions in Indonesia. I'm Hernita. In today's edition, I'll invite you to visit East Nusa Tenggara. So stay tuned. Alor is a regency in East Nusa Tenggara province. The regency is an archipelago consisting of 20 islands. 9 of the islands have been inhabited, namely Alor, Pantar, Tempel, Treweng, Ternate, Kepa, Buaya or Crocodile, Kangge, and Kura Island. While 11 other islands are uninhabited, Alor is the most beautiful island in the regency, adjacent to Pantar Island. Alor Island has many natural attractions and exotic cultures, the beauty of the beaches, marine life, as well as the best spot for diving, has made it a popular destination among foreign tourists. The clarity of the sea, water, and the colorful fish has made Alor famous throughout the world. Moreover, Alor Marine Park is touted as the second best marine tourism site in the world after one in the Caribbean. In Alor Regency, you can also visit other interesting islands. One of them is Kepa Island. The island is known as one of the most beautiful coastal attractions in Alor. The island features soft sands with the clear blue sea. Besides enjoying the beautiful natural scenery in Kepa Island, you can also do snorkeling or diving activities there. When you visit the waters of Kepa Island, you can see the Mutiara Bay Marine Park, one of the most beautiful marine parks in the world with a wealth of marine biodiversity. For those of you who want to snorkel, you can do it in just half a day at an affordable price of 50,000 rupiah per person. As for the diving activity, you can also explore for a longer time with for a slightly more expensive price using motor boats to access more distant diving spots. The divers can choose between diving prices individually or for a package price. Dear listeners, during your stay on Kepa Island, you can enjoy the beautiful panorama by going around the island by boat. The cost is also affordable, only 75,000 rupiah per person. You can enjoy the beauty of the sunset at dusk. For those of you who want to take a rest, the island also provides wooden bungalows, which are rented at a cost of between 150,000 to 3,000 rupiah per person. But there are no restaurant facilities available on Kepa Island, so it is suggested you should bring your own food and beverages. The listeners, Kepa Island can be reached within 10 minutes by motor boat from the Alor Kecil Pier. Alor Island can be reached by flying in about 45 minutes from El Tari Airport in Kupang, the capital of East Nusa Tenggara. There are 2 focal flights daily from Kupang to Kalabahi, the capital city of Alor. Kalabahi is usually the transit point for tourists before traveling to the cluster of small islands around Alor. From Kalabahi Airport in Alor, you will travel 1.5 hours by car and continue by boat to Kepa Island. For those of you who want to enjoy a different atmosphere on Kepa Island, please come in July. In July 2015, the regional government of Alor will hold the Maritime Tourism Festival to recognize the potential of Alor Regency for its maritime economy and tourism. Kepa Island was chosen because the island has become one of the major attractions in Alor because of its beautiful beaches. The maritime festival will include the various fishing traditions of the local fishermen to introduce the culture and the uniqueness of the maritime life of the local fishermen. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics Kepa Island. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is allergy, or in English, allergy. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Allergi. Allergi. In English, allergy. Sembuh. Sembuh. Recovered. Nanti malam. Nanti malam. This evening. Dokter. Dokter. Doctor. Batuk. Batuk. To cough. Terapi, terapi, therapy. Berdebu, berdebu, dusty. Kantor, kantor, office. Memakai, memakai, to wear. Masker, masker, mask. Multivitamin, multivitamin, multivitamin. Menyarankan, menyarankan, to suggest or to tell. Minum, minum, to drink. Air hangat, air hangat, warm water. Tidak boleh, tidak boleh, may not. Es, es, ice. Jus buah, fruit juice. Makanan gorengan, makanan gorengan, fried food. Antibiotik, antibiotik, antibiotics. Obat batuk, coughing syrup. Sesuai aturan, according to the instruction. Setelah makan, after meals. Saran, saran, suggestion. Hindari, hindari, to avoid. Tempat berdebu, dusty places. Next is a conversation on allergy, or in English, allergy, using those words. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Erna and Anna. Halo, bagaimana kabarmu? Halo, bagaimana kabarmu? In English, hello, how are you? Apakah sudah sembuh? Apakah sudah sembuh? Are you recovered now? Saya sudah lebih baik. Terima kasih. Saya sudah lebih baik. Terima kasih. I'm better now. Thank you. Nanti malam saya harus ke dokter lagi. Nanti malam saya harus ke dokter lagi. This evening, I have to go back to the doctor again. Karena batuk saya belum sembuh. Because my cough has not abated yet. Masih harus diterapi. I still need some therapy. Karena kantor masih berdebu. Because the office is still full of dust. Sebaiknya kamu ke kantor memakai masker. You'd better come to the office wearing mask. Mungkin kamu juga harus minum multivitamin. Maybe you must take some multivitamin. Ya, dokter juga menyarankan saya banyak minum air hangat. Yes, doctor also told me to drink a lot of warm water. Tidak boleh minum es, minum jus, dan tidak makan gorengan. Tidak boleh minum es, minum jus buah, dan tidak makan gorengan. No ice water. Just drink fruit juice and no fried food. Apakah kamu sudah diberi antibiotik? Have you been given some antibiotics? Ya, tentu saja. Yes, of course. Antibiotik harus dihabiskan. The antibiotic must be finished. Selain itu, saya juga diberi obat batuk sirup. Besides, I have been given some coughing syrup. Harus diminum sesuai dengan aturan. It must be taken according to the instruction. Obat-obat itu semua harus diminum setelah makan dan harus dihabiskan. Those medicines must be taken after meals and must be finished. Saran dokter, hindari tempat-tempat yang berdebu. Doctor said I must avoid dusty places. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow, with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. We meet again with Music Corner, a segment that introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. At this edition, I will present you a band group, The Overtune. Well, listener, let's listen to a song sung by The Overtunes entitled Dunia Bersamamu.
Diriku ingin ku tahu arti hidupku, hanya dirimu yang melengkapiku. Kaulah nafasku, dirimu, kaulah yang terindah di hidupku. Air matamu lemahkan hatiku yang ada untukmu. Inilah duniaku untuk bersama. Dan walau waktu berjalan, aku kan terus bertahan. Pelukku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu, dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu. Sampingmu sepanjang hidupku, rasa ini hanya ada saat bersamamu. Bahagiaku dengar canda tawamu, terangi hatiku. Inilah duniaku untuk bersamamu. Dan jalan, ku kan terus bertahan. Pelukku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu, dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu.
terus bertahan. Pelukku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu, dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu. Oh, oh, oh.
Overtunes is a group band which has been a member of Sony Music Entertainment Indonesia since 2013. The Overtunes consists of three brothers: Mada Emmanuel Brahmantio, born in 1994, Ruben Nathaniel Brahmantio, born in 1996, and Mika Angelo Brahmantio, born in 1997. The Overtunes turned to be famous when Mika Angelo participated in a talent show X Factor Indonesia in 2013. They were introduced to musical instruments when they were still young by their parents, Lance Brahmantio and Yvonne Hubner Imelda. For them, music is about passion. Music is also everything for them, since they used to sing at school. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Sahabat by the Overtunes. Here is the song.
Tatap muka dan berbicara hanya sebatas kata.
The listener they named the Overtunes was discovered when they played the song Fix You Coldplay and raised the basic tone. So they had the idea to name their band The Overtunes. Because for them, The Overtunes does not show a tacky impression and very related to music. It can also be interpreted that they want the band to move forward to the top. Now, they already have their own single album called Sayap Pelindungmu, which was released on December 4, 2013. They call it Extended Play, which was sold online and there were only 777 copies. Sayap Pelindungmu is a song that is adapted from the song Center of Gravity Boyzone. Maybe some people think that The Overtunes is a plagiarism, but actually not. They only have one songwriter, the same with Boyzone in Sweden, and the songwriter gave the same song to both The Overtunes and Boyzone. Then Boyzone released the song 4 days earlier than The Overtunes. The title Sayap Pelindungmu was given by their mother, which has a very deep and universal meaning. The Overtunes is loved by young fans because they are anti-mainstream music and their passion toward the advancement of Indonesian music. Well, listener, to end the music corner for today, let's listen to two songs entitled Sayap Pelindungmu and Jatuh Dari Surga. Happy listening and enjoy the day. Sampai jumpa.
Saat kau jatuh, lukai hati, dimanapun itu, I'll find you. Saat kau lemah dan tak berdaya, lihat diriku untukmu. Kapanpun mimpi terasa jauh, oh ingatlah sesuatu, ku akan selalu jadi sayap pelindungmu. Saat duniamu mulai pudar dan kau merasa hilang, ku akan selalu jadi sayap.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.